you, Lord. Father, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for everything that you are to us and in us and with us. And we ask that you would just finish our sentences today, Lord. For this is about you, Holy Spirit. It is not about me. And that everyone will get that nugget that you have for them to leave here with. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when I received this word, actually, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to say about that? And I kept looking at it, and then I kept throwing it away, and I kept looking at it and throwing it away and putting it in my book. And my daughter-in-law came down, and she goes, Mom, have you looked at your word? And I'm like, nope. She's like, not even once. I was like, nope. She said, why? I said, every time I look at it, it scares me to death. So I just put it down and go the other way. I'm trying to think of what am I going to say about it. But as I started praying about it lately, what has happened for me is God has me on this journey. He has us on this journey where he is silencing our voice inside of us so that we can hear him in a more definite and profound way. And it's a lot of times when you think of that, it's like we've been so loud that we can't hear him. And so he took me on my front porch, and I sat out there, I was standing out there on the front porch, and I just got quiet than I've ever gotten before, so quiet that when a bird flew by me, I literally could hear the flapping of his wings. And I was like, Lord, what are you trying to say? He said, this is the kind of silence I want from my people so that when they asked of me, I can impart myself into them. They don't have to wonder if they're hearing from God. You would know that you know that you know that you are. So as I thought about this subject, I became more grieved in my spirit to think that we, the kings and priests of the Father, would ever even want to do this, want to go out and spread false witness about people. You know, God speaks very, very definite about it, very definite. And when he says he hates something, that's powerful. That is something that we need to really pay attention to, because what he's telling us is that he's not saying, I dislike it. He's not saying, get over it. He's saying, I hate it. I hate it. I am not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. More than that, he's bringing it up to a head. Why have we forgotten how to honor one another? And that's where it's going to start with. We have forgotten how to honor one another. How to look past what we see on the outer appearance and to know that God may have a work going on in the inside of that person that you can't see. And so while you're judging the outer appearance and while you're judging what you think this person is and you're telling tales and going and doing this, that, and the other, you are killing that that God loves to take on something that God hates. God hates that. And so he doesn't even do that. He said, no man knows the heart but me. Not one person in this room knows the one other one's heart but the Father God. And he's the one that knows it like we have never imagined him knowing it before. So I thought about another man. Just mention him before I get in deeper, that also experienced all this false witness, and that was Jesus. And he's right before us. He's somebody we can relate to. He's somebody we can think about and we can see. I remember Nancy mentioning last night about, sometimes we imagine him on the cross and we forget he wasn't up there all clean and just a little. He was bloody. He was beat. Flesh was hanging off of him. He was in a terrible state, and they bared false witness about him, but he opened not his mouth. That is who we are called to be. Hard as that is. And we open out our mouth because we have a vindicator that is ready to step in if we step out of the way. And he's not going to let anything come unto us that can take us out of the kingdom as long as we're walking underneath his covering and underneath his protection. But as Jesus did, which is our pattern song, that's what we need to do. We need to come to the place where we know that we can. It says he was beaten, he was talked about, he was spit upon, he was said all manner of things about for the kingdom. But he opened not his mouth. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to do anything like that. It is the 9th commandment, shall not bear false witness. The word false means not true or correct. Uttered or declared, which is uttered. Not faithful or loyal. So when you say, when you go and spread false witness about somebody, you're telling somebody else, that person is not loyal. That's how deep you're cutting that person. That person is not faithful. That person has no honor. That's what you're saying. See, we take things very light. God takes them very serious. And he said, it's time up. We can't play in the marketplace anymore. We can't do those things we used to do anymore and think God's going to smile up on them and say, it's okay. Because we are messing with God's children. And when you mess with God's children, you mess with the king's children, then you're messing with the king himself. And the king himself is not going to tolerate it anymore. Not anymore. You're saying that person is a mistake. You're saying that person does all these things because when you go to them and you say that they are saying false things about them. The Hebrew Bible says false witness is among the 6 things that God hates. King Solomon, false testimonies is among the things that define a person, said Jesus. The witness who hid what he had. Everything that we do, everything that we say. I was thinking when I was looking this up, it was so funny. I was in Benjamin's class, and his when he was expressing himself and talking, all of a sudden I saw him move out the way, and I saw God stand up there. And I sat up there and I watched him, knowing that my son physically was standing there, but God himself had taken over and he was no longer there. And so when he started to express out of his mouth about his workshop, I sat there and I started listening. And then all of a sudden, Debbie had went before him. And I can hear Debbie's workshop. And as I was sitting there writing down last night, the Lord said, they are intertwined together. See, we look at the 10 commandments and we go, the first commandment, the second commandment. No. God said they are one unit. They are one unit. One cannot develop without the other. One cannot exist without the other. Because each commandment that you take on, that commandment becomes a part of who you are. And you can't separate them. And you can't have false witness without loving your neighbor. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. In the book of Exodus, it describes the Ten Commandments as being taken by, being spoken by God, inspired on 2 tablets by the finger of God, broken by Moses. Why? Why was they broken by Moses? Do you remember? What was the first thing that happened when he came down out the mountain? They were already not doing the Ten Commandments. They were already graving images, golden images. They were already going against the very thing that God was trying to write on their heart. Already doing it. How many of us are already doing it or did it? Well, this is your day of redemption. This whole conference is about redemption bondage. This is the day that everything that you have did in the past that you didn't know, now you have the right and you have the second chance to go back and correct that thing. And don't just say, well, I'll just correct it in my head. No. Sometimes you have to speak it out loud and let your flesh hear it. And say, Father, forgive me. Because I didn't mean to do what I did to that person. I was just speaking. That's another thing God started telling me. I was with a friend of mine, and we were riding in a car, and we check and balance each other. And you know, some of the little things that we say are very hurtful. Not even to each other, but about somebody else. Do you know that you are not my friend if you sit there and listen to me slander somebody and do not tell me? You are not my friend. Because all you're doing is harboring that thing that's enabling me to be for who I am. Instead of saying, no, Evelyn, I don't think that's what they was thinking. Think about it like this. Maybe they were thinking, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to say it mean, but you can correct me and give me another train of thought so that I cannot take that person and just slaughter them because you didn't know. You didn't know what they were thinking. But God is saying, are you my brother's keeper? Yes, you are my keeper, and I'm yours. And we need each other. We do need each other. Because sometimes we say things at a flip of a tongue that God knows we do not mean to hurt and wound. But we do. We do in the spirit. In Proverbs, the commandment against false testimonies is seen as a natural consequence of a command to love your neighbor as yourself. The more prescription flows from the commandment of the holy people and bears witness of its dignity. Offenses against the truth expressed by word or deed and refuse to commit oneself to moral uprightness. We can't just keep. I was thinking about in the old days. This is so strange, the way God's taking me. Yeah. But in the old days, when you had a king that had a call on his life, even if he was a kid. And as a kid, they assigned him, I don't know what they call him, not just scribes, but people to help him, to mature him, to get him ready for the kingdom that he's going to be ruling over, right? And so as they help him and instruct him and they teach him, back in the days when they used swords, they made him very, very able to take care of himself. They taught him how to use the sword. They taught him how to speak correctly. They taught him how to walk correctly. They taught him how to dress correctly and everything. And he submitted unto it because he knew this was important because he was going to be ruling a nation. Guess what we're going to be ruling, folks? We're called to be kings and priests. We're going to be ruling nations. We're called to be rulers. God didn't call us to be the tail. He called us to be the head. And if we're going to be the head, then the head cannot be a person that totally strips down, tear up, beat down every person that's underneath him. He has to come to a place where he learns how to lift up. Do you know, in the church, people often think, the highest place sometimes people think, the highest place can be, you know, let's be an apostle or whatever, because they're way up here. Wrong. They're down here lifting up. And if you're up, if you think that that's the highest place you can get to, then your thinking is warped. Because in God's word, he said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you learn to be servant of all. You learn to take it on the chin. And you have to take it on the chin. I can remember when I lived on a Christian farm years ago, when my children were very little, my husband and I lived on a Christian farm for 10 years. And on this farm, we had different duties that we had to do. We ate together. I used to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and have to fix 25 loaves of bread. And I would get up there, and we would get in there, and we would knead this bread, and we hit it ready because we had to have the bread for the day. And you wake, that was your duties. You got up, you went downstairs, you kneaded the bread, and you was cheerful at it. I can't believe I was when I think about it now. But yes, I would go down there, and I would just knead this bread and cook it, and we would be in the kitchen. And if you actually came by the kitchen, all you would hear is this laughing and joy coming out the kitchen while all these women and young women were in there making bread at 5 o'clock in the morning for y'all to eat at 8, you know. And so we sit there, and we did that. And we did a lot of things, but I can remember one day when an incident happened, and someone lied upon me. And I was so hurt. I was so wounded. I didn't know what to do. I knew I couldn't come back at them because God wouldn't let me. I knew at that moment I could go in there and try to defend myself, but it was a closed deal. They just all of a sudden believed everything that was being said. And if it wasn't somebody that was really close to me, it probably wouldn't have hurt it as bad. But because it was, it hurt it even worse. And I remember going before the elders, and I was standing in the room, and I fell on my knees before them. And I said, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. It hurts too bad to know how to pray. I don't know how to pray this off me. I don't know how to pray for them. All I know is I didn't do this thing, and they won't hear me. And I stood before them, and they was like, Evelyn, they was trying to tell me that. They said, well, you know, I wish I could tell you. I don't know all the ins and outs about it. But it wasn't like I needed an answer from them. It was like I was before them, but I was actually before God. And I remember falling on my knees and saying, Father, I don't know what to say. All I can say is, let not my heart get hard. Let me not hold this to them because they hurt me. Don't let me take it in and cannot face them, pray for them, have compassion on them because I'm hurting. But take me through this thing and take me past it. And I don't even know when it lifted. All I know is that that's all I could pray. And I got on my knees and I prayed. And then we had a service that night. So I got up and I went to service that night. And as I was sitting there in service, a prophecy just started welling up in me. And I thought, am I worthy to do a prophecy? The way I'm feeling, you know how when you just don't feel that you're doing it right or something, you know, and you'd feel like, can God still use me? God, can you use me in this state that I am? Can you use me? And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit inside me said, call my name. And he said, Evelyn. And all of a sudden, it was like everybody in the room went quiet. Even though the noise was level was going, it was like I heard nothing but the Father. And he said, talk to me. Open your mouth and talk to me. Let me talk through you so your ears can hear me. And I remember standing up and I started to prophesy. And as I prophesied, I got free. And the more I prophesied, the freer I got. And the prophecy wasn't about, oh, Lord, get them because they messed me up. It wasn't like, take them to the fire and burn them up. You know, it was no prophecy like that. But it was just a prophecy that was so rich in who God was and what he thought about his people. And as I started prophesying, the more I got out of Evelyn and got into God, that thing just fell right off me. And in that moment, God showed me, there is nothing that can stick on you when you call out to the Father. Nothing. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how wounded you feel, the worst thing you could do is go back and try to hurt because you've been hurt. It's the worst thing you can do because it will not bring a fruitful fruit out of that thing. And we're about fruit, right? We're about wanting the fruit of God. We want to be able, people to be able to come and pick off our tree and pick fruit that's ripe, not fruit that's ripe with worms. You don't want wormy fruit. You don't want bruised fruit. You want fresh, strong fruit that you can have. So I sat there and as I got freer and freer and freer, I was able to go to that one in love. And I literally could hug them, never mentioning what happened. And then weeks later, they came to me and they said, I never understood why you didn't retaliate. I said those things to you to see if I could spark something in you. I wanted to see if I could break you. And I couldn't break you, but you broke me. And I looked at them and I said, I broke you? And they was like, you broke me. Because all you did is kept loving on me. You want to know how to get past of not doing false witness against somebody? Love them to death. That love that God has put in us, guys, is stronger than any weapon that we can ever use. It is a weapon that never gets old, never gets up, and never will let us down. That love weapon he gives us unto us. And it allows us to move in areas when we can't. See, we got to remember our flesh is at enmity with us. That's what the Bible says. In other words, it doesn't want us to succeed. It's the last thing that's going to be put under our feet. So don't get any ideas in your head. It's going to help you. All it's going to do is tell you how to get back at whatever. But our spirit man is what we need to branch out and grab a hold to. And we have a spirit man that's greater than anything that we can possess. I tell you what, I would not trade my children. I wouldn't trade God for my children, my husband, my life, my money, none of my possessions. I wouldn't trade him. Because I know with him, I have someone that's going to stick by me through thick and thin. It doesn't matter what I go through. It doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter when I fall down. It doesn't matter if I get up. He's going to still be there. It doesn't matter if I'm in hell. He's going to be there. It doesn't matter. He's always, always, always going to have my back. Now I have you. Because guess where God is? He's in you. So I can look at you and say, you can have my back. Because when you're walking in the spirit, you're walking in the man of God and the woman of God. And when you're walking in that, nothing can defeat us. There is nothing that can come between us. I'm so glad. I am so glad of that. In Revelations 21:8. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominate of murder and whoremongers and scorpions and idolatry and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire. which is the second death. That's not where we want to end up at. But if you keep on spreading false rumors, hello. That's where you end up at. Right there in the lake of fire. Ever consumed for one mistake. One mistake. Do you know when Moses and the children of Israel was walking through the wilderness and they said, Moses, we want some water. We want some water, Moses. Speak to the rock. Get us some water. So Moses spoke to the rock the first time. And they got water. And the second time, when they demanded of him, instead of him doing what God told him to do to speak to the rock, what did he do? He struck the rock. Who is the rock, folks? So how many times do we think we're coming at some at one of our brothers and sisters? And what we're doing is we're coming after Jesus. Because he lives in each one of us. He lives in each one of us. And he doesn't want us to do that to one another. In Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lies, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give the devil place to evil. So what does that mean? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We have a pride issue, all of us, at one time or another. And we can do something, and sometimes our pride keeps us from making it right. There's so much pride. We don't want to go back and say, I missed it. I was wrong. And we'll go, Lewis and I, we have this thing that we've had ever since we've been together. And I think maybe once or twice that I can remember, we did not do this. And we was up the whole night. It was horrible. And that is, we don't let a bad word be the last thing we say when we go to sleep. Or when we leave each other's company. When he leaves to go on the road, when I'm gone somewhere, we always speak good thoughts to each other. We always pray for each other. And if we have a disagreement before we go to bed, we get it right before we go to sleep. Oh, God don't let us sleep. I am not kidding. We ask God, you know, Lord, keep us one. He's faithful. And you're sitting there and you go, look, I'm not saying sorry first. He did it. He know he did. I'm always the one to bring it up. I'm sorry. I ain't doing it tonight. I'm just going to sit here and go to sleep. And you be sitting up there and you twisting, tossing and turning. And he's on the other side of the bed and he ain't saying it. My husband does not argue, Aspen. He is not an argument person. It's so frustrating. Because at least, you know, he could be over there going, I ain't going to say nothing either. But no, he just sits there. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, shoot. Man, if I'm going to go to sleep tonight, I got to bring this up. So I was like, Lewis, we need to talk. He goes, no. Is it going to be long? You know, it's going to be one of those women things. You know, y'all got to tear all the incidents before you get to whatever you want to say. Okay, that makes it worse. Y'all know that, don't y'all, men? That makes it really worse. And so we're sitting there, and so I'm like, no, I'm just saying this issue that we're having, you know, we really need to talk about this because you didn't see that you were mean there. You were mean there, whatever I want to say to him. And he goes, okay, what do you want me to say? That doesn't help either. What do I want you to say? I want you to think of what you want to say. He goes, okay, I'm really sorry, honey. It sounds so fake. You know, and I'm like, okay. I was like, well, I just want to let you know that I really see where I missed it, blah, blah, blah. He goes, really? Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Let me get the tape recorder. You actually said you know you missed it? And I was like, okay, see, that's why I don't like to say I'm sorry to you. Because for this reason right here, why can't you just say, oh, honey, I'm sorry too? That's what they do on TV. They don't go, well, give me the tape recorder, you know. And so then we start laughing because it becomes so funny that we're sitting up here trying to solve this issue that now all of a sudden it's not an issue anymore. Why? Because we're talking about it. And he was like, God, can you believe we got in an argument about that? I was like, no. I said, that's because we really didn't get in an argument. I got in an argument and you sat still. I was arguing with myself. It was bouncing off you and you were just sitting there. Just imagine, I lived in a house with four men. Four men. And I'd be trying to get my point across and they all sit there and look at me. And I didn't notice until they got grown. And their dad would be in the back of me saying, just agree. Just agree. And I didn't know that till they got older. And they told me that he said that. I wonder why all of a sudden I start winning all the arguments. And he'd be back there saying, shut up, just shut up. And I'd turn around and he was like, mm-hmm, honey, I know. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. And he was like, okay, mommy. Okay, mommy. And then I found out later that's what he would be saying. And then they told me when they got older, it was like, well, dad would be in the background. And when dad goes like this, we know that if we don't shut up, no, we'll be dead. So you shut up. Dad said, leave it alone. We leave it alone. But I'm just saying, all those things, you know, that come into the picture, into the scope of everything, you don't let it go down. You don't let yourself go to sleep with all that heaviness on you. You know why? Because it gives place for the devil. It really does. And he comes, let him that stole, he comes to steal, kill, and rob. He comes to do that. Everything that we have in existence in us. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt conversation proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edification, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do you know that I taught a class with believers, baptized, born again, had speaking in tongues, and they didn't know they could talk to the Holy Spirit. And they didn't know they could grieve the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, I didn't know the Holy Spirit was a person. And I said, well, you can't grieve something that is not a person. If it's not a person, how are you going to grieve it? So you can grieve it. I said, did you not read your Bible when Jesus said, I leave, but I leave you a comforter that would lead you into all truth? Well, he's also there for you to go and ask when you got a problem and you don't know how to solve it. He's right there. He's right there. And he doesn't like to be grieved. Whereby ye are seated unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In Colossians 3:9, it says, Lie not one to the other. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deed, and have put on the new man. How many of us say we're walking in a new man? Okay? We're walking in a new man. That means old things have passed away. All them old habits we got to drop them off. See, this is what we do. We're like be walking along, and then something will happen to us, and we'll kick open the casket, pull out that old man, and slap him up in front of us. And all of a sudden, that's what we be giving each other. The old man's pure too. And God said, leave that dead thing in that casket. You know, he don't need to talk. Leave him in there. Because all he did is wreak headache for you and heartache for you. He didn't give you anything. That's why I killed him. That's why you had to die. Because there was nothing good in that. And so instead of us doing that, we get into a really hard situation and we don't want to cry out to God for it because we're probably scared what he's going to say to us. So we don't want to cry out to God. So we're like, you know what? I remember when 10 years ago this happened to me. What did I do? How did I do that? And up comes the dead man out the casket. Just like a little puppet. And then you have him talking for you. Then you got to go repent. Then you got to get washed. Then you got to have forgiveness. Then you got to go waddle. Then you got to go and say, I'm sorry. All that stuff. And you could have left them dead man in that coffin. I'm just saying. We got to start leaving the dead. Let the dead be dead. And stop resurrecting him. He don't need to be him or she or it. Doesn't need to be resurrected. However you want to look at it. And have put the new man, which is renewed and knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are created for his glory, like that song said last night. We were created for his glory and his presence. We were created to be better than what we are. And now is the time, like never before, for us to walk in it. Now is the time. We cannot keep walking and taking the Ten Commandments like it's just, oh, you know, you learned the Ten Commandments when you were little. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, thou shalt not. I don't know about you, but that is the way I used to do it when I was younger, a young Christian. I didn't take them literally, and you didn't either. There was just Ten Commandments that was back in Moses' days that Jesus wrote on the tablet. Hello? They're supposed to be inside of us. Not outside on the tablet. Those are things that he put in there. He didn't say, and you can if you want to. He said, thou shall not. Shall means you don't have a choice. You can't do this thing anymore. You can't do it anymore. And I'm telling you, if we don't grab a hold to that, we don't grab a hold of that. We are going to be in a worse place than we've ever been. This is a new day for us as God's people. I feel like Nancy was asking me about a new place. Something happened to me the last conference I was in. I can't explain it. I don't know how to tell you. All I know is that things that used to matter to me, that used to get under my skin, that used to make me have, people could just, like my heart was sitting right here and they could just stomp all on it. It's not there anymore. It's like God said, Evelyn, when it comes up, it's just like, here it is and here it is. Which one is me? Take what's God and that other thing, there it goes. I don't have time for it to be inside of me. I need to be about my Father's business. And whatever my Father's business is for me at that moment, it is not having pity because you stepped on me. But it's to go on and be that righteous woman and man of God that God calls you to be. And how are you going to be that? Because we have got to start loving and honoring and respecting each other. You know what? There is not one person in here that the next person next to you, behind you, or in front of you can take your place in heaven. The work that God has for you to do, nobody else can do it. The things God got for you to say, the only way somebody else will say it is that you refuse to open your mouth and do it when God give it to you. Other than that, that's yours. If you have not moved for 10 years, guess what? It's not God's fault. It's their fault. Because he said, as much as heaven as you want, he's going to give it to you. We are called the house of God. We sat in the doorway of God. We are the house. We are the place that he embodied. We are what he wants to speak through, live through. We are what he wants the society and people to see. When we go in our grocery store and Delta and IGA, people start knowing who we are. We don't go up and say, yeah, this is who I am. They just know who we are. And we go in that store, and it's nothing for people. Well, it kind of shocks us, some of the people that come up to us. People that we never see in church and never hear talk about God walk up to you in the aisle and say, you know, I'm having a heart problem. Could you pray for me? And you're like, okay, yeah, I'll pray for you. No, right now. Can you just put your hand right here and pray for me in the store? Because this is what it's coming to, folks. They're hungry. They're thirsting after righteousness. And we got it. But will we use it? And the only way God's going to use you is that you have a pure heart. You have to have clean hands and a pure heart. If we don't have clean hands and a pure heart, God can't use us. Because all we'll do is contaminate that he loves. What does he love? All of us. We can't keep doing stuff to each other and think God is not going to frown upon it. Because he will. And one day it's going to come, all your chance is going to be used up. Then what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Yes, he's a merciful God. He's a God of grace, but your grace can run out. It's not like, say, 5 Hail Marys and boo-ba-boo, whatever they do, and it's all going to be gone bye-bye. Or any other, and I'm not making fun of the Catholic Church, or any other thing that you think you can say that it's going to excuse you for doing. He said, woe to those that know to do right and choose to do wrong. So if you know that you need to do those things, you cannot keep doing the things that God says is an abomination unto him. Bearing false witness is an abomination. Do you know how serious that is? It's an abomination. Get that in your head. And every time how it's going to trigger you, get it in your head. Read it. Get it in your head. So whenever it comes up and you hear yourself saying that, stop yourself. And say, Father, I don't know what that person's going through. I don't know what kind of day they've had. I don't know what kind of burden they have on them. But bless them, Lord. Don't curse them. Bless them. Because when you bear false witness on them, you're cursing them. Don't curse them. Just bless them. If you don't have anything else to say, just say, Father, I bless them. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know why they did that. But Father, I bless them. You can't go wrong with that. Because God would honor that if you bless them. I just love how it piggybacks. I was telling Debbie, it piggybacks off love your neighbor as yourself. Because those who bear false witness against their neighbor, you're bearing false witness against yourself. Because you have a commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're bearing false witness about your neighbor, what falseness are you walking in? Got to stop it. We got to stop it. It's time to take the mask off. You know that commercial on TV, they walk around with that paddle because they got depression and they put it over their face. You know what I mean? That commercial that comes on and they put it over their face and they like, yes, I'm depressed. Sometimes that's the way Christians walk around. They get around each other and all of a sudden they pull out the false face and have a big old smile on it. I'm so happy. I'm doing fine. Yes, look at me. And underneath, they're dying because we're so scared to trust each other. I'm so done with that. I hate secrets. Don't you hate secrets? I hate secrets to the point that it cannot, if a secret I gotta keep because I don't trust you to pray me through, why am I fellowshipping with you? Why are you in my life if I cannot trust you? But I have to trust the God. It's not you, the person I'm trusting. I'm trusting the God that resides in you that will not fail me. And when we do that, we will love our neighbors as ourselves because we'll start loving ourselves. I had to start loving myself. Before I got thyroid problems, my children could tell you I got in a really bad accident. My thyroid got messed up. I never had a problem with weight. I ate whatever I wanted to eat when I wanted to eat it. Never gained weight. It was great. All of a sudden, I got a thyroid problem that killed my thyroid, and overnight, it seemed like I became a balloon. And I'd look at food, just smell it. You know? It was horrible. And it took such a long time. I went to my doctor, and he said, you go home and you throw away that scale, and don't you ever buy another one, because what's happening to you, you can't control. And I went, okay. He said, because it's killing who you are as a person. You are not this person. And when I started doing that, I had to literally learn how to like Evelyn again. And say, you know what? My husband loves me. We had this thing. If I get too fat, where he can't get his arms around me, then we have a problem. We both did that together. And it keeps me, I'm telling you, he was like, I love all of you. What more do we need? What more do we need? But I had to learn how to love myself all over again. I really did. I didn't like all this weight. I never had it before. So, of course, I wasn't going to like it. Very active, was in all kinds of sports, everything. All of a sudden, boom, there it is. And there's nothing I can do about it. But now, you know what I think? Hey, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. You know what? And I love Evelyn. You know why? Because Evelyn is the only person that God gave me that I need to love so I can love you. Because if I don't love me, I can't love you. If I look in the mirror and all I see is all my insecurities, guess what I'm going to see when I look at you? We don't want to think that. But a lot of times we have a problem with a person is because we look at them and we see all our insecurities. And it's time out for that. So now we are starting a new day today, and we are not going to bear false witness, right? Against our neighbors. And we are going to love them, respect them, and honor them instead of slandering them and calling them hypocrites and doing all these other things that we can do to them. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to see them different. If we are not careful, we will kill Jesus all over again in each other. And we can't do that. We can't do that. It's too dangerous. There's a song I'm going to sing to you, and then I'm done. All while I was thinking about this workshop, it's a really old song. And it talks about us. And it says, some may think that I am fearless. Some may think that I am strong, but on the surface I may seem quite self-assured. But if they could see the person underneath this face I wear, they'll see I'm just a child that's insecure. But yes, it's true that I am fearless, and it's true that I am strong. But Jesus is the reason, not myself. not my own. It is his faithfulness. It is his strength in me. My only confidence I find in Jesus' name. It is his faithfulness. It is his strength in me. And in his faithfulness, you can do the same. And in his faithfulness, you can do the same. See, I happen to found out who my center is. My center is Jesus. And whenever I need to get encouraged, I go back to the rock that lives inside of me. And it keeps me from ever coming against or slandering or saying false witness against people. It keeps me. It keeps me on the straight and narrow. I pray every day. I kid you not. I get up in the morning. I pray every day and I said, Lord, let me see that in my brother and my sister that is pleasing unto you. Let me learn how to encourage and not to put down. Let me do that. And that's what we all need to do. Because this is a time, like I said, like never before. I don't think it's no mistakes we're doing the Ten Commandments. I think we need to rehearse them. Because I think we have started taking them for granted. We look at, we take the ones we want, and the ones we don't want, we don't read. But God said, nope, you got to take the whole spoonful. You can't just take what you want and leave the rest. You have to take it all. Any questions?